Well, again, Merry Christmas, everyone. Oh, we got to do that one more time. Merry Christmas. You guys had it right. Welcome again to Faith, whether you're joining us in person, whether you're joining us online. If we haven't met, my name's Mike. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. And it's great to have you with us as today we are kind of wrapping up a series that we have been in throughout Advent that we've entitled Messy Christmas. And really just the simple idea of this series has been, oftentimes you'll see the Christmas story portrayed in cards, sometimes in kids' plays, as this gentle, serene, peaceful, kind of sanitized event. And yet, when you read about the Christmas story in the New Testament, it's actually incredibly messy. From start to finish, there's just one mess after another, and they just seem to compound on each other. But we've been saying throughout the series that the good news of that is, in that first Christmas, in spite of all the mess, we see God present, and we see God at work. And the God who is present and at work in the mess of that first Christmas, he longs to be present and at work in the messes of our Christmas. So each week we look at a different piece of the Christmas story, and today we're going to wrap this up as we kind of spend some time in Luke's version of the Christmas story. And as we saw in our, I don't know what to call that, a reading, a play, or what to call that exactly, but you have Mary and Joseph, and they're heading to Bethlehem, and they're heading there from Nazareth, and you've probably heard, okay, Mary is 9 months pregnant, she's kind of fit to be birthed on this. You may have even had somebody tell you that, it's about 90 miles that Mary's traveling. And this is a poor family, so all likelihood, she's walking 9 months pregnant, 90 miles to get to Bethlehem. And some versions will tell you that that Mary and Joseph went up to Bethlehem. Now, the interesting thing about that is if you look on a map, Bethlehem is actually south of Nazareth. So when it says they went up to Bethlehem, it isn't talking about direction, it's talking about elevation. So Mary's able to say, I walked 90 miles uphill all the way, because that's what she did. It was just a messy kind of thing. As many of you know, my wife Laura and I, we love to backpack. And oftentimes in May, we will backpack in the Porcupine Mountains. And this past May, we went to the Porcupine Mountains, and our worship leader, Kat, and her husband, John, they came with us. That's them in this picture. Now, in this picture, Kat is 4 months pregnant. Can you tell? If you think you can, you should tell her if you see her out in the lobby. I wouldn't do it. All right. So here's the deal. Kat's 4 months pregnant. She's like, hey, this is my last chance to go backpacking for a while before we have this baby. And so right before we left, Kat said to me, hey, are you and your wife going to move slowly enough on the trail so that I can keep up with you guys in my condition? And I'm like, Kat, my wife and I, we are old. All right, we're not setting any land speed records. You're going to be fine. And there were times where we were having trouble keeping up with Kat, right? Kat's 4 months pregnant. We did about 30 miles. I can't begin to imagine the mess of 9 months pregnant, 90 miles, but that's the first Christmas. Or Mary and Joseph are heading to Bethlehem because there's a census. And really with the census, what this is all about is Caesar's trying to figure out as accurately as he can how many people live in Israel. And he's not just curious because he's, interested in population trends. He wants to know so that he can better tax the populace. They need to pay for the roads and the peace and all the soldiers that are there living in their country, controlling every aspect of their lives, socially and vocationally and religiously and more. Taxes in the ancient world were the way that you paid for your own oppression. It was messy. Or Luke will write this, and it's kind of a famous line out of the Christmas story. He'll say, while they were there, and this is in Bethlehem, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. There was no guest room available for them. Now, if you grew up on older versions of the Bible, you probably remember this as, there was no room for them in the? Yeah. So you're like, okay, what's the deal? Why is the NIV going, you know, guest room when my good King James Version told me it was an inn? Here's the deal. The word that Luke is using here, kataluma, it's actually a really tricky word to translate. And we're not sure if the best way to translate it is inn or guest room or caravansary or what. But here's what we know for sure. Luke is trying to paint for us a picture of contrast. He wants us to understand, when Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the place where human beings normally reside. And so they had to go and have a baby in the place where animals normally reside. And Mary, she embraces the mess. She gets creative, and she puts her newborn child into an animal feeding trough, makes a makeshift bassinet out of it. This might be the scariest baby Jesus I have ever seen. I'm just saying, all right? With all the sounds and smells, with all of the poverty that is implied in being born in a barn, she lays her firstborn son in a manger. In so many ways, that first Christmas was messy. And yet God was present and at work. God was present in that first Christmas in a way he never was before in human history. In that first Christmas, the Word who was with God, the Word who was God, the Word who through whom all things were made, the Word who was the light of all mankind, the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. In that first Christmas, God was present in a way he had never been before. And in that first Christmas, God was at work. God was at work as he moved towards the mess in the birth of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, hardship. Yeah, and that first Christmas, God moves towards the mess in the birth of Jesus as Jesus is born into a family who's experiencing hardship as they travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, as they get to Bethlehem, and there's no room for them. Or in that first Christmas, God is present and at work in the birth of Jesus as Jesus is born into oppression. He is born into a world where the Romans rule with an iron fist. They control every aspect of the people's lives. Or look at your neighbor and tell them, poverty. In that first Christmas, God is at work as he moves towards us as Jesus is born into poverty. After Jesus is born, his parents take him to the temple. They offer the sacrifice that's customary when you have a firstborn. They offer the sacrifice that is reserved for those who are financially destitute. In that first Christmas, God is present and he is at work. And again, the good news is that the God who was present and at work in that first Christmas, he is present and at work this Christmas. If this Christmas you sense the mess of this world pressing in on you from the outside, if you're experiencing hardship at home in your marriage, with a child who's wayward, with a loved one you've lost, at work, at school, in your church, the God who moved towards the mess that first Christmas, he is present with you and he longs to move towards you in your hardship this Christmas. Or if this Christmas you're oppressed religiously, socially, racially, or more, the God who is present in that first Christmas, he is present with you today. And he longs to move towards you in your oppression this Christmas. Or if this Christmas, you're experiencing poverty, be it your finances are a mess, or you're relationally bankrupt, or you're emotionally destitute, The God who was present that first Christmas, he is with you. And he longs to move towards the mess of your poverty. So before we have the worship team come back up and they lead us in a couple more Christmas carols, we're going to pray. And if today the mess is pushing in on you from the outside, I would love to pray with you about that. Or if for you today the mess is really a mess that's on the inside. It's the mess of a heart that needs the forgiveness that Jesus came to bring. I would love to pray with you as well. So let's pray together and then we'll sing. Father, thank you so much for Jesus and for Christmas. Thank you that in that first Christmas, you moved towards the mess and the birth of your Son. This Christmas, some of us, we are just wrestling with hardship, with oppression, with poverty. In our hearts, we want to call that out to you, and we want to invite you into that mess. Father, for some of us, the mess is internal. For some of us, the mess is a mess of a life and a heart that is broken, that needs forgiveness. And so we just confess to you our sin. We surrender our lives to Jesus, who you sent in that first Christmas, who lived the life we should have lived to show us the way, who died on the cross to make a way for us to be forgiven. We surrender all of who we are to him. It's in his name we pray. Amen.